I'm here today with Mr. Ron Hughes, the president of FBH International, and we're glad to have you with us today, Ron.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
Ron, I'd like to go all the way back to the beginning. You've been with FBH International for 25 years now. How did you become involved with the ministry?
It all started with a phone call. My wife and I were missionaries in Ecuador, and one day I dropped my child off at school, and she said, hurry in, some man's called from Canada, and he's going to call you back in 5 minutes. So I rushed in and got to my office, and sure enough, a phone call came from Arnett McEntee inviting me to consider joining him in the work for a while and then eventually taking over. So it's a very long, convoluted story, which we won't take time for, but that's how it began, with that phone call between St. Catharines in Ontario and Quito, Ecuador.
It must have been a big change culturally, coming from Ecuador back to here.
It was. And in fact, if you talk to many missionaries who have returned to their sending country, you'll find that a reverse culture shock is often worse than culture shock. But what you don't realize is that when you've been out of your country for 10, 20, 30, 40 years, it has moved on and you are locked in a time warp from the day you left. And it just seems really weird when you come back.
So how long were you in Ecuador?
10 years.
10 years, wow. So getting back to the ministry at FBH, what were the early days like for you here?
The very early days were overlapped with Arnett for the first couple of years. And so he still exerted a significant amount of influence on what was happening. Technologically, it was right for the time, but we were just at the cusp of the switch to digital. So within 2 years, I got a call from the advertising agency, which was taking care of our program distribution. And they said, we're not going to be accepting tapes for distribution as of such and such a date. You need to switch to CDs. So we had to move into the digital era very quickly.
That must have been quite a challenge.
It was. It meant that we had to change a lot about the way we worked. It was less of a challenge for me than it was for Arnett, because I was already kind of moving into the digital thing in my private life. I already had a website and email and all of that stuff. And so it was not so difficult. But I remember Arnett commenting that he was really glad that it was me that had to do that transition, and that he escaped that.
So what were some of the other earlier challenges that you had when you started your ministry here?
I think just getting established in Canada again. I had done virtually no speaking before I went to Ecuador, so being the public face of the ministry required me to learn some skills in that department fairly rapidly. And I was largely an unknown quantity. I sensed that even with the confidence that the board had expressed in me, people wanted to check me out for themselves. And that was a bit nerve-wracking. So that was a challenge. We were also at an interesting cultural time 25 years ago. Christian music was just really taking off, or it had taken off, and I think I was interested in trying to get FBH to catch up. And so we would have diverse reactions, shall we say, to what was happening. So I'd use one kind of music, and I would get a call or an email from somebody saying, that's so old and so out of date. I really don't think I'm interested in listening to the program if you're going to just keep it the same like that. So the next week I would switch it up and use something a little more contemporary, and I'd get a call, not an email. I would get a call from somebody saying, if you're going to play that kind of music, then you can forget any support from us again. So that was kind of tense.
Were you able to find a happy medium there?
I'm not sure that there ever was a happy medium to be found. It seemed there was always somebody unhappy.
A bit of a loaded question there, I'm sure. So when you came, how broad was the reach of FBH?
For several years before we came, there had been a strong emphasis on increasing the number of languages. And we had 22 languages around that time when I was just beginning and the first few years I was here. But the penetration was very low. So yes, it was 22 languages, but 15 minutes a week in those languages. So there was a big question about how effective that was. And I opted, as I took on more responsibility, in consultation with our broadcast partners, to drop, especially the small language groups, many of which we were the only broadcast in their language. So they had to be listening to a radio station which was not in their language and happened to stumble across the 15 minutes when we were in their language. And it just didn't seem very profitable. So we decided to reduce the number of languages we're in and go deeper.
Now, over the past 25 years that you've been here, surely you've seen the Lord work in this ministry in many different ways and provide in many different ways. Can you recall an instance where God's provision for the ministry went even above what you ever anticipated or expected?
That's actually quite easy to answer. The big one that stands out in my mind is when we launched HopeStream Radio. Crawford, Paul, and I had gone to the board. We had this crazy idea to start an online radio station. And we'd gone to the board, and we had come up with a budget, $70,000 for a first year's operation. The board said, well, that's a lot of money, but when you raise half of it, we'll give you the okay to start, assuming that in the first 6 months, you can raise the money for the second half of the year. So we blithely thought that we had maybe a year to raise $35,000 and make this happen. So this was at the September board meeting. And on Thanksgiving weekend, Canadian Thanksgiving weekend, I got a phone call at home on Thanksgiving Monday from a woman who expressed some interest. I don't know, even know for sure how she'd heard about HopeStream Radio. And she was chatting about asking a lot of questions, and I was doing my best to answer. Never dreamed that there would be any money involved. I thought she was just curious. And finally, before she hung up, she said, well, I'm thinking of making a donation to HopeStream Radio. She said, would $35,000 make a difference to you?
Wow.
So, yeah, it made a difference. And so suddenly we had to move our start date way up. And the Lord's provision for that first year was absolutely amazing. This is way out of our hands. So clearly God's in this.
Amen. So sadly, after 25 years, you've decided to retire from the ministry. Sadly for the listeners, maybe not so much for you. But in closing, can you just tell me what's next for Ron Hughes?
Well, if I knew, I would be happy to share that. I intend to keep preaching and writing and doing some volunteer things, but I don't know that there is a specific thing that will take over. Maybe. The Lord hasn't revealed that yet.
Well, thank you, Ron, for your time today. Thank you so much for the ministry you've done and the work you've done with FBH. And we'll certainly be praying for your future and for whatever it holds.
Thank you very much, Stephen.